Penguin Random House Audio presents Nowhere Like Home, a novel by Sarah Shepard, read for you by Brittany Presley. To Maya. Prologue. It's hard to sum up this place. Hard to craft a sales pitch. It took me a while to get it right. But I needed the perfect thing that would persuade someone to take the plunge. I'm nothing if not persistent. This is what I came up with. Maybe you're stuck. Maybe you're sick of yourself. Maybe you want answers about who you really are. Maybe you want to make lasting relationships, true friends, not like the acquaintances you think you're close to now. Maybe you think, if only I could get away, if only I had time to really think, really breathe, everything would be better. I'd know what I want. I could change. So come then. Here, things are different. We have stunning sunrises every morning, fresh food every day, good company always. Your children will grow up appreciating nature and community instead of burying their faces in screens. You'll grow your own food, really feel the soil between your fingers. You'll understand what life is supposed to be. You'll get the answers you're looking for. You'll find peace. You'll heal. I promise. Because here, you can start over. Here, you can be who you want to be. Here, we're all friends. At different points of the day, we pause after screwing the lid on a mason jar or conjugating a French verb with our children, or while we're holding up the beam of the new shed, or while we're trying to find the center of ourselves at meditation. And we think, we've really cracked the code. You want that? Of course you do. So come. We're living the dream. We're becoming better selves. Out in the desert, with the stars as our witnesses. Out in the desert, with its natural beauty as our model and guide. Out in the desert, you can escape. Pretty good, right? Admit it. I've got you curious. Not that it's the real reason I want you here. It's only the means to the end. But once I've hooked you, once you arrive, you're out in the desert, alone, and I'm waiting for you. Because out in the desert, friend, no one can hear you scream. Part 1. Chapter 1. Lena. October. Present day. The first troubling thing that happens when Lena Schmidt arrives in Tucson is she nearly falls flat on her face on the jetway. She catches herself and the baby using one of the ground transport guys' shoulders.
Whoa,
the man says, staggering backward.
You okay there, ma'am?
Fine, fine, Lena mutters, her cheeks blazing. Sorry.
Think you frightened your little guy?
He gestures to Jacob, her 5-month-old son, who has broken into a fresh round of sobs. Lena gives the guy a grimace slash smile. If only her baby were merely startled. There have been 10 minutes of blissful silence since they began traveling. As Lena walks down the ramp, her son's screams rise in volume. She can hear passengers deplaning behind her groaning. There goes that baby again. The Tucson airport is small, with only one terminal and a few shops that are open. Lena walks hurriedly, bouncing Jacob ineffectively and trying to convince herself that the fall and Jacob's renewed cries aren't some sort of omen that she's made the wrong choice. Just in case, she squeezes her fist 5 times, counting the squeezes in her head, making sure she's got it right. Then she searches the airport for something yellow. There, a bright yellow soccer jersey on that little kid. Better. It's okay, she repeats to the baby as he moans. Blearily, she pokes her head into various women's bathrooms until she finds a changing table that seems somewhat sanitized. The diaper change helps his mood a little, and his screams trickle to whimpers. All dry now, she says cheerfully as they exit the bathroom. But he starts crying again as they get to baggage claim. She needs to get the baby's car seat, too, waiting next to at least 20 hard case golf bags. Rhiannon told her to leave most of her possessions behind. That's not what this place is about. But Lena would feel naked without them. As she hefts a suitcase off the carousel, she hears little jars of stage one baby food clinking. A few travelers give her funny looks. She wonders if they think she stashed a bunch of beer bottles in there. An airport attendant helps her load her things on a luggage cart and push through the ground transport doors. Rhiannon said she can't pick Lena up personally, and that no buses come out to the community. And Lena tries not to see this as an omen either. The desert heat smacks her in the face as soon as she steps outside. It's so stiflingly hot that it's difficult to suck in a breath. Lena's lungs feel like they're inside a pizza oven. There's a shiny sedan waiting at the cab stand. A man with leathery skin wearing a barn jacket leans against a wide-open passenger door. The AC wafts from within. Lena gravitates toward it, zombie-like. The man perks up when he sees her.
Need a ride?
After he's helped her shove all of her things into the trunk and get the baby semi-secure in the car seat, Lena swings into the back seat next to Jacob.
Shh, shh,
she says, trying to fit a pacifier into his mouth. He swats it away angrily. The cabbie catches her eye in the rearview.
Set of lungs on that one, huh?
Sorry. Lena wants to burst into tears herself. He isn't usually like this. A lie. Jacob is always like this. She fishes a prepared bottle from the pocket of her backpack. She doesn't want to get him too attached to bottles or formula, but it's an emergency. Jacob accepts the nipple and falls silent. Lena shuts her eyes. Peace. The driver peers at her expectantly in the rearview mirror. Oh, sorry. The Texaco station just passed 3 points on Ajo Way, please. There's a mile marker, too. It's the address Rhiannon gave her. She repeated it over and over to herself on the plane ride like a chant. He looks puzzled.
That's almost an hour's drive, and not much out there. You sure?
Positive. They start out the airport drive, heading due west. Lena can tell because the sun is behind them. Her phone buzzes in her pocket. Daniel reads the text ID. He has texted an image of the hastily scrawled note Lena left for him this morning, and a question mark. The time on the vehicle's dashboard clock is 8:30 a.m. Daniel is nothing if not predictable. Upon waking, he goes immediately to their home gym, which is next to the bedroom. He finishes, showers, gets dressed for work, and makes his way into the kitchen at 8:30, often on the dot. Her note on the kitchen counter was likely the first thing he saw when he came out to make coffee. She banked on this, being a whole state away before he even opened his eyes. Less chance that he'd convince her to change her mind. She waits for another text, a reaction beyond just a question mark. Bon voyage, she expects he might say, or an indifferent, see you later. Maybe, thank fucking God. But nothing comes. The AC smells musty, so she breathes through her mouth. She looks at her baby, worried about the chemicals he might be inhaling. 5 more fist clenches. And there, yellow words on a billboard for an injury lawyer. It will be all right, she tells herself. It has to be. Otherwise, what is she doing? Why is she subjecting her child to this upheaval if not for all the things Rhiannon promised? Serenity, community, help. Answers. Well, that last one is a goal, not a promise. She just hopes that Rhiannon will comply. The first part of the drive, there are cars whizzing east. Turnoffs for housing developments with names like Sonoran Sun and Grand Iguana Casitas, and a casino on Tohono O'odham tribal land, jam-packed with cars. There are stoplights, then blinking stoplights, then stop signs, and then nothing. Nothing. Nothing but human-shaped cacti and dirt. They drive on a road called Valencia, then Ajo, small mountains.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?